If you will let the Word of God set you free today, it'll change your life. The Word of God is that which changes and transforms our lives. And a lot of times we've listened to the words of man, to the words of ourselves, and our ideologies, and our thinking, and we've boxed ourselves in, and we've lived below where God intends us to live. That's happened individually, and it's happened corporately. And I'm sick of it, and I've talked about some of these things before, but I'm going to tie it all in one message today. I intended to go here. I did some study on this week, and I just could not get away from it as we were worshiping today. But God wants to speak to somebody's heart today. I'm going to be in Numbers chapter 13. Let me say this before I start. If your spirit is in poverty, then you're being controlled by hell. Because God intended for His children to prosper. He's intended the best for you. If He didn't want the best for you, His Son would have never been sent to this earth. Since Jesus came to this earth as a sacrifice for you and me, it's proof, all the proof that we need, that God's intent is that we prosper. There are three mindsets that permeate people's lives. I'm going to focus primarily on the first one, but the other two are hand in hand. They go together. There's a poverty mentality and spirit. There's a middle class or good enough spirit. And there's a kingdom mindset. Those are the three levels that most people operate. Some of you operate in all three at different parts of your lives. I want to come against some of those things today, and I want us all to learn that when we walk in a kingdom mindset and a kingdom spirit, everything else flows out of that. But when you walk in a poverty mindset or a good enough mindset, everything else also flows out of that. And I'm tired of watching people live below. Some of you already tuned me out. I pray that the devil blind your eyes to everything else that would distract, deafen your ears to everything else that would block you, and everything that's trying to distract you and keep you from hearing. The devil is going to do everything he can to keep you bound to his spirit because he's had you for 37 years and he does not want you to be set free. But the Word of God wants to set you free. Some of you are going to get uncomfortable and you're going to want to leave. I pray the Holy Ghost glue you to your seat to your backside not be able to move so you hear the Word of God and it set you free, because I'm sick of watching people live in defeat and bondage by the enemy and the poverty mentality that's coming, controlling people and taking them and causing them to live in hell on earth. Satan has fooled people into thinking, the more poor I'm willing to be, the more godly I am. That's demonic nonsense. Well, if I have nothing and I wallow about, there's nothing scripturally to support that mindset. The Bible says you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. That our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has all things. He measures the universe with the span of His hand, and He holds you right in the center of it. But when people conform to what they've always been exposed to and believe, their potential for transformation is destroyed. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." But when you're constantly exposed to those things that have been conformed to you, when you're constantly exposed to the same things that you've always believed, always been taught, you sit around his family and you talk about how you lack. You sit around his family and you talk about, here's what you do. Let's go ahead and get real for a minute. Oh, everything's so bad. My back hurts. My body aches. My bills ain't paid. Oh, praise God. Everything's just so bad. Oh, there's all these mess. I've got this disease. I've got that disease. Oh, God is good. And you religify hell. Got to stop. Because that does not glorify Jesus Christ. But it's infiltrated the church for years, and we've got people sitting in churches right now, here and other places, and people that are going to be listening to this podcast, that you're bound up by this mindset and this ideology. I'm not talking about being, you know, prosperity and name it and claim it. I'm not going into all that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying today. But I'm tired of people living below. Some people live so low that they've reached up as high as they could, they couldn't touch bottom. And they say that, well, this is just a lot God has given me in life. No, it's the lot you've allowed the God of this world to give you in life. It's not the lot that Jesus Christ came to give you. We must stand up, take back what the enemy has stolen from us, and accept the blessings of God without condemnation. There's two thoughts. Excuse me, there's one thought that permeates the church, and I mention this in Sunday school. People say all the time, I know God has made great things available for me. How many of you believe that? God has made great things available for you. Guess what? That's a lie. He has not made great things available for you. He's given them to you already. Because when you say He's made great things available to you, that means if I can do enough, I might earn them. But when you realize they've already been given to you, there's nothing you can do good enough to earn them. They're yours in and through Him. Bless God, I wish we would understand what God has made available. But instead, my MO is to sit back and feel bad for myself and cause everybody else to feel the same. I'm tired of watching people live in defeat and justify it and quantify it and qualify it and surround themselves with people with the same stinking thinking. Oh, I understand, man. I've been there too. Let's just wallow together. And somebody comes along and says, you don't have to live there. Well, let's kill him because he doesn't get it. We must know who we are and realize that God's blessing is not only available, but it's been freely given. I want us to know who we are. That's the most important thing. My purpose, my calling is simple. My purpose is not for you to know who I am. My purpose is for you to know who you are. I don't want you to go out and say, oh, well, yeah, Rodney's my pastor. Who cares? Doesn't matter. I want you to be able to stand and boldly declare, He is my God, and I am His child. That's what matters to me. If you recognize and step into and walk into your purpose, I fulfilled mine. This coming a day, my name will be forgotten. But the name of the Lord is eternal. And if you know Him and you know who you are in Him, nothing else matters. Most people spend all their lives wanting to be known on earth. I don't care if I'm known on earth. I do want to be known there. And you know, to be honest, I also want to be known down here. To be honest, be known in three worlds. Man, that's a different message for a different day. Numbers 13. Are you there? I promise I'm going to read from it. Verse 27. All right, backdrop. Moses had sent out the 12 spies to spy out the land. You remember the story? He sent the 12 spies to check on the land and find out about the land before they went in and took possession of it. And you know what? That's what God has given us, His Word, so we can spy it out and look into it and find out what's been made available to us. Most people live below because they don't have a clue what's available. They don't have a clue what God has given to them in His Word. Spy it out. Search it out. Realize what He's made available. So Moses sends out the spies and they come back in verse 27. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. They bring back a sample of the fruit. If I see you dozing, I'm going to shake this. Some of you may not like me after today, but that's okay. If you learn to like yourself, you can hate me all day. So they come back. They're like, look, it's amazing. The land truly flows with milk and honey. Here's fruit. In fact, it says that a couple of guys had to carry the cluster. The cluster of grapes was so big that not just what they couldn't carry just by themselves. The evidence of what was available was beyond their comprehension. They were amazed at what they were about to receive as their own. It's amazing what God has made available, freely given to you and me. It's amazing what we have at our possession, within our possession, within the promise He's given us. Everything has been bestowed upon you. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and I'll give you part of it. No, all of it has been bestowed upon you and me. It's amazing to look at and consider what's been made available to us, that we can walk in authority, we can walk in victory, we can walk in health, we can walk in prosperity emotionally, physically, financially, relationally. It's amazing. And when we spy it out and we see it, it's like, wow, it's almost as though I can reach out and take it. Guess what? You can. It's yours. Look, the fruit. Man, look at this. Look what they said, though. Verse 28. Nevertheless. Other translations say but. Don't let your stinking butt get in the way. When you know what God has promised, watch out for those stinking butts. Nevertheless. And here you see it. Here you see the poverty spirit. Immediately. All these great things are there. Nevertheless, and you almost can hear a tone change. It's like this. We went in to test the land, and it truly does flow with milk and honey. This is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And all of a sudden, you see the poverty spirit. Sweet man. It wasn't something they learned in that moment. It was what they had, what they carried. It's for 430 years enslaved in Egypt. All they knew was slavery. All they knew was bondage. All they knew was being captive to someone else and being weak and controlled. All they knew was a poverty spirit, and it came out. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. You see the difference there? Caleb says, we are well able. You know what that is? It's a kingdom mindset. We are well able. We are more than conquerors. We are well able. But then here comes the other spies with their poverty mindset that says, we are not able. Well able, not able. Kingdom, poverty. Can't you see that difference? Major distinction. Sometimes we find ourselves in the middle was we might be able. That's the middle class mindset. Ten spies. How many of you can name the ten spies? How many of you can name the other two that came back with a good report? Joshua and Caleb, right? Well, of course, two is easier to remember than ten. No, I guarantee you if it had been flipped and two would have been impoverished and ten would have had the kingdom mindset, we'd remember all ten. Chapter 14, verse 2. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses. Not just the ten spies. All of them. All of them complained. All of a sudden, his poverty mindset of the ten infiltrates everybody and they're like, you know what, that's probably true. I guess we just can't have anything better than what we've always had. And they all complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness, death is better than our current situation. If you find yourself saying that, you are controlled by a poverty spirit. It would be better off if I were dead. That means a poverty spirit has taken control of you, and you feel like death is better than your current life. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who have spied out the land, tore their clothes, spoke to the congregation, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, verse 8, He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. They are our bread. Our protection has departed, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. The Lord will give it to us. But they were so convinced it was too late. There was nothing to be done. What they had was the best they were ever going to have. And let me show you from this story, just for a moment, if I could, the three things that a poverty spirit will do. I'll tell you what they are quickly, and we'll touch on them. Number one, a poverty spirit will affect how you see yourself and your circumstances. Number two, a poverty spirit will affect how you see other people. Number three, a poverty spirit will affect how you see God. It will affect how you see yourself and your circumstances. It will affect how you see other people. And it will affect how you see God. As we go through this, some of you are going to realize, wow, there's more of that in me than I thought. You can be a millionaire and have a poverty spirit. You can be financially destitute and poor and have a kingdom spirit. It doesn't have to be tied to money. So loose that already. Not, well, he's talking to me because I don't have any money. No, it has nothing to do with money. The mindset. The spirit. I've watched it control people for years. My mom had the ability to feed 8 kids with nothing. And other people that go to the cupboard and they've got 48 meal choices. Oh my God, I've got no food. We're going to die. Mindset. Break that off of you today. Number one, a poverty spirit will dictate how you view yourself and your circumstances. The spies saw their situation as genuinely hopeless and that they would be better off dead. They did not develop this image of themselves as being grasshoppers in the sight of the Amalekites during the spy mission. It was a mindset that had been ingrained in them. The poverty mindset is always like this. Here's the way it works. Watch me. You're walking along. Oh, hey, here's a new opportunity. Same old, same old. I'm still weak. I'm still nothing. Oh, a new job. Praise God. Oh, wait. Same mess. Different boss. Oh, hey, a new church. Oh, wait. There are evil people here too. This situation is no different than everything else. There's one common denominator. That's me. This new job is no different than any other job I've ever had. There's one common denominator is me. This church is, you know what I'm saying? The issue isn't in the situations in which you walk. The issue is in your own heart and in your own mind. It's a poverty mentality that's controlling you and affecting how you look at yourself and the situation in which you find yourself. God had brought them out of Egypt. Are you kidding me? After what he's just done for them, they're immediately going to sink back into all they've ever known and say, well, this is our lot in life. I guess he delivered us from bondage to make himself look good for a moment and then destroy it. Where does that come from? Who tells people that stuff? Well, the Lord spoke to me that I'm just supposed to just barely... No, he didn't. That's not the Lord of heaven. He's made you above and not beneath. Don't allow yourself to live in the devil's playground. They had spent their entire lives in slavery and bondage, and they couldn't see themselves to be able to be victorious. You know what that? It's poverty. That's what it is. That mindset will allow you for a moment to feel good, like, oh, something's changing. Oh, this. And then the next thing you know, guess what? It controls entire churches. It has controlled this church for years. That's why we have so many building projects in such need. It's because we put a band-aid where complete repair needs done. It's not the way God intends us to live and operate. Like, well, I just think as long as we have His presence. Okay, tell that to Solomon in building the temple. He made it as beautiful and as ornate and amazing as it could possibly be. And God's presence still showed up. He's like, well, if we get one of those big fancy buildings, we'll run away God's presence. No, that's nonsense. Let me give you some examples of how this manifests in a person's life. Hear me. You justify your lack and make excuses for it. Sign of a poverty spirit. Well, we may not have the best, but at least we have. No. Don't make excuses. Don't justify your lack. Secondly, you have a poverty spirit if, when things are being handed out for free, you grab as much as you need, as much as possible, even if you don't need it. You have a poverty spirit if your source of money is the government, your boss, or your parents. You apply for any job advertised, you're willing to do any job as long as there's money involved. You think receiving is better than giving. You complain about having to pay taxes on an unexpected bonus or reward. You try to hide the income. You go to bed worrying about money and your possessions many nights. You always wonder if somebody's out to rip you off or take advantage of you. You cannot, do not, unwilling to work for free. If you're going to do it, you're going to be paid for it. Poverty mindset. It's better to receive than to give. Your weekly bill at the computer game store or video game store is more than you give in a month of the church. You try out many get-rich-quick schemes. You put your trust in winning competitions, winning the jackpot, winning the lottery. You even tell God, God, if you help me win, I'll give to you. Poverty spirit, that is. I'm telling you, man, this is not pleasant to talk about. It's not fun to hear, but we need to be broken of these things in the name of Jesus. God doesn't want us to be bound by these things. When looking for a church, a poverty mindset looks for any church to attend. A middle-class mindset looks for the best church that meets your needs. A wealthy mindset looks for God's presence in the church. It may not on the surface be the best, but His presence is there and you know that you're headed toward becoming better. When dealing with pain, a poverty spirit wants to escape in silence or explode in anger. A middle-class mindset or spirit works to get out of the pain. And a wealthy spirit stays the course and knows that their healer resides within. When dealing with material goods, a poverty spirit hoards. A middle-class spirit lives to shop, baby. A wealthy kingdom spirit says, "What can I give more?" When dealing with time, a poverty spirit lives in the past and survives one day at a time. A middle-class spirit lives in the present. A wealthy kingdom spirit lives for eternity, makes history, and blesses the next generation. The kingdom spirit doesn't worry about provision. The kingdom spirit walks in vision. It affects how you look at yourself and your situation. We need to have God set us free. Number two, a poverty spirit will dictate how you view other people. When you have a poverty spirit, everyone else will be better than, stronger than, more important, and generally lording over you. You know what the spies wanted to do to Joshua and Caleb? They wanted to stone them. How dare them think we can take possession? How dare them try to see things different? Don't they understand we were there too? Who do they think they are? The poverty spirit will cause you to feel disdain, disgust, and genuine dislike toward other people that see things differently than you do. You will not be able to see yourself as able or capable in comparison to anyone else.
Oh man, I sure would love to play that guitar, but I could never be as good as Chris.
The poverty spirit. You start comparing yourself with other people, and you start telling yourself that I'll never be as good as blah, blah, blah. I used to do it in ministry.
Oh man, if only I could preach as good as so-and-so, but nonetheless, here I am, worthless, useless, and can do the best I can. Can't preach my way out of a wet paper bag.
The poverty. It affects and dictates how you view other people. It's unhealthy. Someone with this spirit will be envious of anyone with them that breaks past this spirit. If you are around other people that have this poverty spirit, you want to make enemies, you break free of this spirit. And you watch how people start to act around you. Well, who do you think you are? Oh, I guess you moved up to the north side. Or the east side, sorry. My bad. We're moving on up. You hear me? The poverty spirit says, well, everybody needs to be as miserable as I am. If anybody breaks out of that, I'm going to bring them back in Jesus' name. If you really love Jesus, you would suffer the way I'm suffering. I want everybody to get the Holy Ghost. I want everybody to have the Holy Spirit. And instead, people are dealing with poverty spirit. I'm wondering why. Some people got the Holy Ghost and the poverty spirit. That's crazy. We got people sitting in church like, yeah, I got the Holy Spirit. And you got a poverty spirit too. But both spirits are trying to cohabit. Here's what it's done. It's caused many people in the church to doubt the power of the Holy Spirit because they do not see proof of any transformation in the life of the one who says they've got the Holy Spirit. People do not transition to a higher place in God because they're still conformed. They've not allowed themselves to be transformed by the renewing of their mind, by the power of the Word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what that said about Caleb? It says he had a different spirit. Numbers 14, I don't have time to go there, but later on in that chapter it says that Caleb, who had a different spirit, he saw possibilities. And guess what? Joshua and Caleb had to wait a while, but they inherited what they knew to be theirs. The poverty spirit will cause you to see right here and now and say, well, we can't have it now or ever. But the kingdom spirit says, I don't care if I have it right now or later. I just know it's mine. And what has been made, what has been given to me, I'm taking possession of. It may not begin to manifest in my life right now, but it will manifest one day. That's why Hebrews chapter 11, it says they looked ahead and they saw what was possible. Even though some of them didn't receive it, they never lost hope. They continued to pursue what they knew belonged to them. That's a kingdom mindset.
Part of mine says, well, I didn't have it now, so I'm never going to have it. I prayed for healing once, it didn't happen. I guess God wants me to just suffer.
Lies. God doesn't operate on our timetable, but He doesn't operate in our mindset either. He's given these things to you. Man, I wish we would get this. Here's some examples of how this manifests in how you relate to other people. You're critical of those who teach and preach anything dealing with prosperity.
Oh, don't preach prosperity. Preach about how we're supposed to suffer.
Some of you are uncomfortable by the fact that I'm saying that God wants you to prosper and be healthy and be whole. You're uncomfortable with that. It's poverty spirit controlling you. I know, Pastor, tell me about that. I'm okay in my mess. Example of this is if you feel and you don't think that a man or a woman of God should be blessed.
They were a true Christian. They live in a shack. And know that their mansion is in heaven.
Poverty mindset. Nobody else, if I can't have it, nobody else should either, especially not them Christians. Example is if you see a brother or a sister in Christ prospering and being blessed, you immediately begin to think,
what is it they're doing illegal that's causing them to get ahead? I need to investigate and find out why they're being blessed. Hey, did you see that car he's driving? Can you check his bank account? You work at the bank. He banks with you, right? Right? Can you see where that money... I'm just curious. Did he do the lottery? Where is this... Is it legal? Is there actually... Can he afford this? Because I'm not sure everything's on the up and up. Can you look into that for me? Because I just have a burden for him. I just have a burden for him, and I feel the need to take care of my brother in Christ. And I feel like my brother in Christ is on the wrong path. And if somebody doesn't reach out and help him,
oh dear Jesus, it manifests when you get jealous when others are blessed. doesn't even have to be material things.
I sit here week after week. I'm faithful. Their son is visiting one Sunday on my platform. Why don't I get
that? You know what I'm saying? I've seen it happen. It's sick. I'm not saying it's happening here, but I'm hitting everything head on. I'm tired of this stuff. My goodness, I've seen services and things in churches to where you invite people to sing and it turns into a stinking The Voice tryout. Dear God, everybody's trying to one-up the next person and people are competing and trying to be better than this, and somebody has a prophetic word and the next person has to have a better word and clarify and show them how they said it wrong in the name of Jesus. We got all these things going on because people are trapped in this poverty, low, woe is me mindset, and they can't break out of it, and so they're trying to bring others into captivity with them. And it affects how you look at others. And it's real. And it's allowed to be real and viewed as acceptable because we don't talk about it in churches. But we're talking about it here because it's got to stop. Because I don't want us bound by these things. I want us victorious. And not just me, not just you, but every single one of us. And I look around and we're not 100% victorious. Therefore, these things have to be spoken against and said. And I'm not trying to attack you. I'm trying to help you. We're having a worldview. The poverty spirit thinks that their local world is the center of the whole world. A middle class spirit thinks nationally. A wealthy spirit and mindset thinks internationally. Your worldview changes. Did you realize that right after the day of Pentecost, the early church developed a poverty mindset? Did you realize that? They stayed right in Jerusalem. They stayed right there. This is the center of the world, baby. Anybody want something? They'll come to us. The church does it for also. It's like, well, this is, we got it all going on. Others out there want something, they'll come to us. God says, I bet a little persecution. Next thing you know, they're scattered everywhere. Philip in Samaria, Stephen's getting stoned. Like, uh-oh, that's not what they thought was coming. God says, I want you outside of your little sphere. Think kingdom, baby. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the kingdom. That's the plan. Third one, the poverty spirit will affect how you view God. Here's what the spy said. Why did God bring us here? What's he doing? He must hate us. People with poverty mindset will keep the attitude a lot of times like, well, God just really up and get me. He really doesn't love me. He loves those other people. I watch other people worship, and that's because they know he loves them, but there's no way he loves me. I'm useless. I'm worthless. Who told you that? You know where that comes from? H-E-L-L. Give me lies. Well, he brought us out here because he... Listen, if God wanted to destroy you, he wouldn't take you on a journey and destroy you at the end of it. With everything God has done in your life up to this point, that's all the proof you need that he's not out to destroy you. If he wanted you destroyed, you would not currently be breathing. He did not bring you to this point as a puppet on his string to say, now I'm going to show you what I really think of you. Squish.
I wish you would have killed us in Egypt.
He wanted you dead in Egypt, you'd be dead in Egypt. But instead, he proved himself powerful to the world because he brought you out. He kicked down the doors of Egypt. He opened the Red Sea. He brought them across on dry land. He did more for them than anybody ever in history. And then they're like, oh, why did he bring us here? Poverty spirit changes how you view God. It will not allow you to see the sufficiency of God in light of the perceived power of others or circumstances that you face. You will look at your circumstances or the things around you and you will begin to think, God is not as powerful as what I'm facing. Some examples of the poverty spirit and how you view God. You are afraid to give under the direction of the Holy Spirit. You govern your finances with a lack of trust and don't believe God is your source. You can't imagine, we talked about this already, tithing and giving to God until you win the lottery. The idea of sowing into a ministry is a hopeless impossibility to you. We have a missionary here in a couple of weeks. He'll talk about what the work that they're doing in the foreign field. And in your mind, you'll be like, man, I sure wish I could give. In a poverty mindset, they'll be like, well, no, but by then it's going to be broken. You're going to give. You pray and ask God for just enough provision that you and your family won't starve. Jesus taught, give us this day our daily bread.
Some people have extended that. Lord, give us this month our meager ration. Give us this day our daily bread. Guess what? Pray that the next day. Give us this day. That doesn't mean you have just enough to get by. That means you're satisfied that day, and you're satisfied the next day, and you're satisfied the next day, and you're satisfied the next day, because you trust that God's able to provide each day, and you don't think, well, I hope by the end of the week. Man, we got to break this. You cannot believe that God really wants to bless you. When you think about Jesus dying on the cross, a poverty spirit says,
oh, I'm just so worthless before God.
A middle class spirit says,
oh man, I'm getting close to being worthy.
I'm almost there. A kingdom mindset says, I'm valuable to Him. He loves me more than I can ever understand. He's given me more than I can ever. When praying, the poverty spirit prays to survive. The middle-class spirit prays to succeed. And the wealthy spirit prays to bless. God, make me a blessing. The poverty spirit prays to survive. The middle-class spirit prays to succeed. Kingdom spirit prays to bless. God, open divine appointment this day that I might bless someone in your name. When believing in the supernatural acts of God, the poverty spirit says, nope! Not true anymore. The middle class spirit says, wait a minute, it might be. The kingdom spirit says, all things are possible to him who believes. Last one, I want us to sink our teeth into this one. When looking at God, you hear this one. This one sums it all up. When looking at God, a poverty spirit says, I am a sinner. And that's all I'll ever be. Thanks for His grace, but I'm a sinner. The middle class spirit says, I'm a servant. That's all I'll ever be. I'll be on the outskirts looking in, just serving, trying to make my way close enough to where He will say, good job, my servant. But a kingdom spirit says, I am a son of God. Poverty says, sinner. Middle says, servant. Kingdom says son. You're like, but we're supposed to serve God. You don't serve as a servant. You serve as a son, just like the Son Jesus Christ came. He didn't lose His position as the Son to serve. He served out of His position of being a son. Most people try to establish their relationship by their service. But honey, it's never going to happen. I tried it for years and nearly killed myself doing it. I've established in Him as His son, and out of that position and that relationship, I get to serve. And I don't have to wonder, am I still a sinner? No! The grace of God has set me free, and He's called me His own. You see, when Jesus came, He didn't come to introduce us to some ideology of God, far-fetched. Oh, everybody knew Him as Jehovah. Everybody knew Him as Yahweh. But when Jesus came, He says, I've come to reveal to you my Father, and so that my Father will be your Father, so that we can be family. And if you're in Christ, you're a joint heirs. That doesn't mean you're on the outskirts, on the outside looking in. You're not living in the family servant shack. You're in the home. You've got a bedroom prepared for you by the Master, by the Father, because He calls you His son. He calls you His daughter. That's the kingdom mindset. And when you operate in that, it doesn't matter what circumstances look like. That's why St. Caleb had a different spirit. He says, yeah, they're big. The Amalekites are big. All the Ites are there. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Canaanites, the whateverites. They're all there. It's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be easy. But we're children of the God. We're children of the King. And He has given this land to us. And we're going to go in. And we're going to take possession. We're not going to allow anything to dictate how we see it. I'm tired of people living below that. You are a son, daughter of God. Remember the disciples? And listen, if you haven't listened to any of the orphan spirit stuff that I've been posting lately, some really, really good stuff. I want to borrow something that He said. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach us to pray, remember that? Think about how He wrecked their thinking. Think about it. His disciples are like, hey, we see you praying, man. You know God. Help us to know Him. Help us to pray. Here's what He didn't say. He didn't say, position yourself just so. Tilt your head at the perfect consecrated angle. Bow your right knee at a 45 and a half degree angle, but hold yourself in a
lunge position. And then when you're in the middle of your prayer, do you jump and lunge to the other side? He didn't say, when you pray, say, O thou great Jehovah that dwelleth between the cherubim above. He says, when you pray, say this, Our Father. Stop right there. That's all you need to know. Jesus, we know He's your daddy. We know He's your Father. But are you telling us? Are you really telling us, Jesus, us, this ragtag group you call it? Man, all I've ever known in my life is fishing. Matthew's like, all I've ever done is collect taxes and cheated people. And you're telling me, you're telling us that your Father, we can see Him as our Father too? He said, absolutely. You are sons of my Father. That's why I came, so you could know Him in the way I know Him, so I could reveal Him to you. And there are people sitting in churches right now that they don't understand. They're living in poverty mindset and spirit that says, well, if only I had the relationship that so-and-so has with God. Guess what? It's been given to you in the same way it's been given to them. Reach out and take hold of what has been freely given to you. Don't feel the need to earn it. Don't take a middle-class approach and try to serve and make yourself worthy. Step in and realize you're a valuable son or daughter of God, and everything that He's made available to everyone else, including Jesus, has been available to you. Freely given to you. Jesus summed it up like this. Mark 11:23. Jesus said, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever. That's the kingdom. And the poverty spirit tries to find how it looks from different angles. I can get around this thing. Oh, wait, I think. No, not the same mountain. Oh, wait. Oh, nope. Charlie was in the way. Now that I see, it's just the same mountain. Oh, wait. I think maybe there's a pass through. Nope. The same mountain. The poverty spirit keeps walking around thinking something's going to change if they look at things. You know what I'm saying? And the kingdom and the middle class spirit says, Oh, man, this mountain looks tough. I can climb enough. Whew. I gave it my best to be God. The kingdom mindset says, Mountain, you're standing between me and my inheritance. And I know the inheritance is mine because I know my identity is as a son of God. And I don't have to wonder if what's on the other side of this mountain is mine or not. Because I'm a son, I know I own it. I know it's mine. And this mountain may try to get in my way and make me think it's stopping me. But all I know is this. I know the one who goes before me. And he will go before me. And he will make the crooked places straight. He will cut and sunder the bars of iron. And he will give up those from the east, the west, the north, and the south unto me and my inheritance. I'm going to step forward. Mountain, you have two choices. Either number one, you flatten out. Or number two, you just get into the sea, baby. I don't care which you choose. But you're getting out of my way. I'm not going to try to climb over you because I don't have to climb over you. I don't have to look for a way to defeat you because you've already been defeated. The poverty spirit says, oh, we'll never win. The middle class spirit says, how can I best defeat the devil? The kingdom mindset says, I serve the one who's victorious. I stand victorious forever. Nothing shall harm me. Nothing shall stand in my way. The fruit of the land is good and it's yours. Well, I don't know, Pastor. Quit believing that nonsense. Quit letting the language of hell be your most fluent language. The fruit is good. The fruit is yours. You don't have to walk in that poverty mindset of wishing and hoping and thinking. You can stand knowing. Thank you, Jesus, for your promise, your provision. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've freely given us. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. Thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to live in defeat, poverty, stuff. That we are the head and not the tail. That we are the blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for exposing works of the enemy. Thank you, Jesus, for the year of spirit and understanding. Thank you, Jesus, that you've brought us to this place to set us free. that we might be free of this poverty mindset and walk in kingdom mindset, kingdom authority, knowing who we are as sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for bringing us into your family, giving us identity and inheritance.